The spiritual world is a bit of a jungle. With a little sprinkling of intuition, you're going to be just fine. Tune into this episode where we discuss it all.
Welcome to Casa de Confidence, a podcast for you. You'll hear some incredible women
and some awesome cool dudes
going confidently in the direction of their dreams and living in the purpose of their heart.
You're our host,
Julie DeLuca Collins, and you are our sidekick, hashtag handsome hot husband.
That again.
And the producer of the show.
That I am.
I am an author, speaker, coach, dreamer, and most of all,
we help people go in the direction of their dreams
and support them on their purpose. So pull up a chair,
grab a drink,
and make yourself at home, because our casa
is your casa. Welcome back to another episode of Casa de Confidence Radio.
Today, we have an incredible guest. I love this conversation, Daniel. Mm-hmm. Angie DeLumiere is someone that I am in awe of and definitely grateful for the time that she spent with me. You know, I want to tell you a little bit about her. After a thriving career as an international business lawyer, Ange branched out into what she likes to call her PhD in intuition from the University of Life. She now uses what she learned to help ambitious entrepreneurs make small decisions by adding intuition to her seven-step decision-making process. She is the author of two books and a podcaster. Her brand new podcast, True Spirituality with Ange, is coming out in September, which we know already happened. So enjoy this interview, my friends, because I am incredibly grateful that Ange took some time to be here with us. We talked about all kinds of things in your business. We also talked about our favorite books, and a long-lasting friendship has been forged because I loved spending time with her. She's in the UK. We talked about tea as well. So check it out.
I heard you guys talked about Catholicism too.
Oh, we did. We talked about Catholicism.
And didn't you talk, did I hear the mention of Mary Magdalene?
Yes. We spoke about the book of Mary Magdalene.
Oh, yeah.
Which Meg Watterson wrote. And I believe Ange went in, read it after the fact. So it was incredible to be able to spend some time with her. You know, she talks about herself being a spiritual lawyer. And again, she has incredible wisdom. I hope that everyone listening will be able to check it out.
Hey, you know what? I forgot something.
What'd you forget?
I forgot my drink.
What are you drinking, Daniel?
I am drinking pamplemousse.
I gave you a pamplemousse? No,
that's a limoncello. Sparkly water.
Sparkly water. Yeah.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking the same thing, but I'm drinking it from a straw.
Oh, very cool.
Yes.
So, you know what?
Yes.
This is such a good interview, and it's longer than most of your interviews. So, you know, you people are going to miss out on, you know, our banter. And frankly, you're going to miss out on me, right?
Yes.
Wow. Nothing. I got crickets from the wife.
Well, because I don't miss you. I have you here all the time.
Anyway, well, let's get on to the interview with Ange DeLumiere and Julie DeLuca Collins.
Amazing.
Welcome back to another episode of the show. If you are tuning into the show, you know that I am incredibly grateful that you are setting time outside of your day to join us for these great conversations with the cool people, dudes, and women that I happen to come across. And today, there is no exception. Welcome to Confident You. Ange DeLumiere. She is someone who, after a thriving career as an international business lawyer, branched out into what she likes to call her PhD in intuition from the University of Life. She now uses what she learned to help ambitious entrepreneurs make smart decisions by adding intuition to her seven-step decision-making process. She is the author of two books and a podcaster. Her brand new podcast, True Spirituality with Ange, is coming out on the 29th of September. She calls herself a spiritual lawyer, and I am grateful for you being here, my friend. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the honor.
Well, the honor is mine because, again, you have lived such an incredible life, and now you are in this new journey in which you not only learned a lot of the lessons from this life university, right? And you are using them in your life, but you also are making an impact in the lives of other. The True Spirituality is such a wonderful title, at least for me, and it resonates because I think that in a world where there's a lot of noise, true spirituality is one of these unique things that we can all leverage. But what is true spirituality, Ange?
Okay, so such a great question to start with. To me, it's the spirituality that feels right for you.
Mm.
So for me, the guiding light and spirituality has to be your own intuition, because I believe we have wisdom within. Sometimes mm-hmm. we don't hear it because the voice of our ego is too loud, but we can access this wisdom within, and it can tell us, and this is how I actually pursued spirituality, I was going to say from a very young age. Yes, in a way, because I decided not to go to church anymore when I was 12, and I had this discussion with my dad, even though he was a devout Catholic, mm-hmm. and it just didn't feel right. And yeah. he honored that, which was great. So, and then I waited until my 20s, and then I felt this calling to look into things that fascinated me, such as past lives, out of body experiences, all these sort of things. Mm-hmm. But what has kept me safe, but also what has kept me true to myself, was to always check everything I heard through the filter of, does it feel right to me in my body?
Mm.
And that's enabled me to create my own spiritual blueprint, which is something I want to foster and encourage people to do for themselves.
Yeah.
Because I realize that sadly, traditional religions and even some traditional spiritual movements mm-hmm. almost ask you to buy into everything they say. They, you know, yeah. it's like, it's the whole package. Either you're with us or you're not. And for me, that's never worked, because mm-hmm. it's very rare to find a body of thought that will completely align with how you feel. So it's very important to have that discernment, to have that trust in yourself. And that's because I've been teaching spirituality to entrepreneurs for now nearly 10 years, and I've walked the talk myself. Mm-hmm. I like to teach that piece as well, because that enables people to really not only find exactly what fits them, but also keep them mm-hmm. safe. Because I often say as a joke, but it's true, the spiritual world is a bit of a jungle. So you want to make sure so
I
you
agree.
Don't get monkeys
I
on
agree.
Your back. Or there are sadly cults, and there's narcissistic personalities, and there's all sorts of things. And so the podcast is also for that, to keep people mm-hmm. safe, because sometimes they hesitate to come out of their traditional religions because they think, well, now, what am I going to face? You know, mm-hmm. how am I going to find out what is right, what is safe, what is not? And I think just with a little sprinkling of intuition, you're going to be fine.
Ooh, you know, I want to unpack a lot of what you said. Number one, I grew up in a Catholic household, and I could never, when I was in high school, imagine not being immersed in my Catholic faith. And as I went away to college and then came home and started to kind of expand my horizons. My first husband was Jewish, and he was the first person who really questioned the things that I believe and said, why do you believe that? And I realized that, you know, I at first I was taken back because I had never stopped to think. And there's such beauty in the ritual of being Catholic, but spirituality was a different thing from practicing a religion and practicing the rituals. And I found that there was a lot more to being a spiritual person. I found that there was a lot more of really, like you talked about, creating your own blueprint for your own spirituality. And I love that I am in a place today in which I have really defined this spiritual practice and things that really allow me to fill my spirit and soul in a way that maybe it wasn't being done before, right? And it was just kind of this man-made construct, if I may. And again, by the way, if you are practicing, if you're in any type of faith, I want to encourage you to really explore for yourself. What does that mean? What are some of the things that you see with women in particular that are exploring spirituality?
So this is an interesting question in a way, because I literally published an article on Medium, because I'm part of the Writers for the Taoist Online, even though I know almost nothing about the Tao. I will find out, but it's a spiritual publication within Medium. And I literally published an article about how I find the binary model actually quite damaging for the spiritual community. I think it's because I'm the parent to non-binary children, and I think the next generation is going to be more and more pushing the boundaries of gender. So I would say from the start, I've seen a lot of women's circles in the spiritual world. And for a long time, I didn't challenge it. I didn't question it, a bit like the Catholic faith. You know, there were men's circles, there were women's circles. But then when I reflected on the experience of one of my children, who said to me, you know, they were starting secondary school, and in secondary school in the UK, they start to segregate boys and girls for physical activities, sports. And they kept on telling me, I don't want to have to choose. Why am I put in that position to having to choose? And it was the real, and that was on the daily, almost, you know, every week, every day they had to choose the toilet between, you know, girls or boys. And is there really a need to segregate these toilets? So I'm not going to, you know, start a whole debate on the gender and spirituality, but it is something I want to talk about on my podcast, because ultimately I actually believe from my own exploration of past lives as a clinical hypnotherapist with clients, but also my own first-hand experience and also my children's experience, because they've all told me about their past lives. I actually don't believe souls have gender. They're gender neutral. So we do choose to incarnate in a male or female body at this point. And for the next generation, sometimes they choose to not conform with the body that they have chosen to make the society progress, I believe. So I would say this. My advice wouldn't be different for men and women. However, I will say one thing though. And the thing is, in the spiritual world at large, women are more likely at risk of being honed on by predators. And that, I'm not someone who likes to fear among, you know, or to talk about fear unnecessarily, and that's one of the reasons why, I don't know if it's in the first three episodes that were released last Friday. I don't know when this episode is going to be released, actually. So let's say it's the 3rd of October today as we record. But I will definitely talk about this. Yeah, I did do a complete episode on how to cult proof your spiritual journey. But I think it's more that important release,
that's
for
your
women
second
than
episode.
Men.
It released. Yes.
And it's important that women understand that, because women more generally in society are more prone to be targeted by predators, narcissists, and generally cults than men.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's true, but we're more at risk because we're a minority, which is something that I couldn't even put my head around when I was in France, because how can we be a minority when we're at least half the population?
Right.
I don't have the exact numbers, but we're a minority because we don't have as much power as men.
Right. In the society. We live in a patriarchal society. And I think that a lot of the power has been taken away from us.
And a lot of religious blueprints, existing religious progression and existing spiritual blueprints have been created by men.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I just read the book. I don't know if you're familiar with it. You know what? I'm going to pull it up because I'm going to say it wrong. And I just had this conversation with somebody earlier today, as a matter of fact, and you would think that my brain remembers the book. I read it. I loved it. I keep recommending it to people. It is Mary Magdalene Revealed. Have you read it?
I'm not sure I have, but it's kind of funny because I have read so many books about Mary Magdalene.
Yeah.
So no, this specific one, please tell me what resonates with you in it.
Yeah.
What has made a difference?
So I will tell you, someone is a friend of the show, Dr. Bird, Melissa Bird. She is, again, someone that I connected with through Amy and Nancy Harrington, the Passionistas, who are also part of the radio show. So if you're listening to the show right now, you know that Amy and Nancy are here. So Mary Magdalene Revealed is a book by Meg Watterson. And she is, I believe, a trained theologian from Harvard, but has done incredible research on Mary Magdalene. And one of the things that the book is based on is talking about how she was the first apostle, the feminist gospel, and how Christianity hasn't tried some of these concepts that Mary teaches in her gospel. And it's a very compelling story. Again, both Megan Watterson and, you know, the author of the book walks you through the history of the ancient authenticity of the gospel, why, you know, this gospel, perhaps in a patriarchal construct, it was left out of many sacred readings. And also the biggest thing that I took away from it is in Mary's gospel, is all about radical love and how, you know, if we have love at the forefront, right? We live in a world in which we're always talking about, and especially with religion, you're good, you're bad, you're black and white. But with this, having this radical love, we go from being ashamed of our shortcomings and being human to really finding what our purpose is, to be really fully human when we embrace loving ourselves, loving others. And, you know, and that's the true meaning of a person ultimately. And it transcends just where we are today. Meg also explores her trip to Mary's cave where the gospel was found as well. So it's a very good book. I really, really enjoyed it. I highly recommend it to the listeners.
Thank you for mentioning it. This is fascinating in a way. So was Mary's cave in the south of France?
Yes.
From what you read.
It is in the south of
near
France.
Marseille. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm right about that.
And they, so it's very interesting because, you know, there's so I'm not going to give away anything in the book because I really feel like people should read it. But there's some meaning in the things that we do today and the origin and so many different things that came from Mary and from that took place in the south of France where the cave is. So, yes, I think everybody should go and check it out for sure. And Meg Watterson, she is a brilliant writer. I really enjoyed and enjoy going through the book. And again, she makes a meticulous job of being able to research from a not only theological perspective, but also from a historical perspective, so that there is some lots of accuracy and data in there.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And it makes me smile for two reasons. Of course, our listeners are not going to see me smile because they can maybe hear it in my voice. First of all, because back in France, because I'm from France, At the start of my spiritual journey, I used to go a lot to a place called Vézelay, which is in Burgundy. And it's actually the place where Mary Magdalene was supposed to have some of her relics in there.
Beautiful.
So, and then when I moved to the UK, I was called to move to a place after London, which I loved for about a year, a place, and I'm now about an hour from a place called, in ancient time it was called Avalon. But nowadays it's called Glastonbury. And Glastonbury is the Magdalena place if you have one. So I've been to Glastonbury a number of times since I've lived in next to where I live. And I've learned so much about Mary Magdalene. And but I've never heard about this book. So this is really interesting.
Yes, by the way.
That I've read.
Yes. Go ahead.
So the author that I've heard about in Glastonbury she's called Margaret Starbird. She's American as well. She's also a scholar and a theologian. And she wrote the book called The Woman with the Alabaster Jar.
Yes.
But it's coming to pretty much the same conclusion, I'm quite sure.
I'm sure. And by the way, Meg Watterson, who wrote the Mary Magdalene Revealed, she actually, when she's invited to speak at a conference in the south of France, she first goes to Avalon or to Glastonbury as well. So she walks you through that journey and makes the connections between the two. But I want to read you a quote because I think that this is very much in alignment with what your message is, Ange. And this is from the book, and it's, "If I could start again, I would install an altar within me. I would place the most sacred object inside it, my own heart. If I could start again, I would know that the only cathedral I ever needed to find, to enter, to return to again and again, is this humble red hermitage, this mystical space that holds all of the answers, and I would begin again inside my heart, and I would live with this way, speaking from within it." So, you know, I think that their spiritual journey is such a beautiful, such a beautiful thing if we realize that being spiritual really is about starting from within.
That is so beautiful and powerful. And it takes me into something I would love to share. I don't know how much more time we have.
We have plenty of time. This is all about you. I know that we went a little bit off topic, but I want to continue digging into you.
What I want to say is that I think we connected to the fact that I talk a lot about intuition, what intuition is and what it isn't. Mm-hmm. And for me, intuition comes mainly through the heart. A lot of people who teach intuition talk about the third eye, and there is some aspect of this, but for me, it's mainly through the heart.
So it
completely ties into what you're saying, and it feels wonderful that you're sharing this today.
Thank you.
In connection to true spirituality, because it feels very aligned to me. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, there's no accidents. I really believe that we learn from each other. You know, your first episode of the podcast is, "Are you spiritual?" And that is a question that many people either have never asked themselves or will ask and are not sure how to answer. How should someone answer that?
So there's a short answer and there's a long answer. The short answer for me is that we are all spiritual. But some of us might not yet be aware that we are. So it's more about unlearning everything that we've been taught being spiritual is, and relearning that actually we already have it in us. And for some people, that may sound very frustrating, because it's like, inside me, where do I find it? You know, you have so much baggage in your mind and beliefs that you've collected over the years. But I think it starts, and it's funny because last week I ran a 5-day challenge, the very first time I ran this challenge, very excited about it, which was Stop Sabotaging Yourself. And it was about examining under the magnifying glass all of our religious beliefs and finding out how this has an impact in our life, and choosing one belief at a time and deconstructing it, realizing what kind of an impact it has on us emotionally, mentally, and maybe even limiting us or undermining our confidence. Yeah. And then doing the process of actually choosing a better feeling belief. And I feel sadly in a lot of religions, women have been looked upon as inferior to men. Mm-hmm. So already we come with this baggage that we carry, that we have to be selfless and that we have to be mums, otherwise we're not real women,
right,
et cetera, et cetera. There's so much to unpack. But we want to start with one and then use that critical process. I actually inspired myself from Byron Katie and her four questions because I think they're so powerful.
I love Byron Katie's questions.
Yeah. And then I did also a bit of EFT, emotional freedom technique, because sometimes we can do all the work in our heads, but in our bodies, it's not filtered through.
Yeah.
So it's really beautiful when you can tap, and there's lots of EFT videos on YouTube that people can, you know, watch that can help them. I think, is it Brad Yates? He's a very famous EFT guy.
I believe so. I love EFT. It definitely, you know, again, I've done a lot of the mind work, again, following Byron Katie. Byron Katie has been one of the entities that has really helped me in my own personal journey. But like you said, there was a disconnect with my body. And that's a little bit of what I've been processing now. And again, I think that making these connections between the mind and our hearts and our actual, you know, beings is very important. You know, energy moves not only through the world, but it really moves within our bodies as well. And EFT is a great, wonderful way to be able to manage a little bit of that and make those connections.
Yeah. So, I mean, we start somewhere, and what's beautiful is when you start the work anyway, it's almost like the universe is listening and it's going to send you more people that's kind of going to take you one step further and another and another. So I trust that your listeners, from what we've planted, the seeds that are here today will find their way. And
absolutely,
I think that's one thing that I talked about in my previous podcast that's still live, but I'm definitely going to talk about it again in this one. It's the signs from the universe, how to recognize them, how to understand them, how to follow them, because it's like a treasure hunt. And why shouldn't we live our lives like a treasure hunt? Isn't that more fun if it happens this way?
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And by the way, one of the things that really appealed to me about your brand and about the work that you do is that as you are helping individuals, right, really tap into their individual, have that laser clarity about the direction of their business in particular and their lives, because I think that sometimes, you know, our lives can't be separated from the business that we have. It is very important to tap into this because you can make better decisions and there's a lot of possibility of what could be crystal. But most people think that when we mention intuition, and you talk about this as well on your website, is that it, you know, we have to give up things. We have to kind of sit in an meditate for hours or be into some of the crystals. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that if that's part of your practice, but also there's other ways in which we can connect to our intuition, correct?
Absolutely. And actually, again, I wrote an article quite early on the Medium to say that the number one thing you need on your spiritual journey is not meditation. It's actually therapy. And I'm going to explain why.
Yes, please do so.
Yeah. The reason why is because if we come to our spiritual journey with a lot of baggage, and we all have baggage, emotional baggage, then we're going to be more prone to these predators, these cults, the people who are going to try and manipulate you. And I think in the spiritual world, they have more understanding of how to manipulate people. Some of them know about energy. Some of them can literally read you. So it's almost like you go in there naked. So you want to have a process where you're going to start healing yourself, healing your emotions, so that And I call that the Velcro, so that there's less Velcro for people to come and attach themselves to you or try to manipulate you.
Yeah, that's so good.
The best. Once you've started doing that healing process, whether it's with a therapist on your own, there's tons of modalities. You're a little bit safer because you've had a bit of that reflection. You do a little bit of that. You're more aware of what's happening in yourself. You're more aware of your triggers. And in that way, you're also better prepared to protect yourself. And again, I don't want to scare people, but protection is very important.
I agree.
We all want to be safe.
I think, you know, I actually see this a lot as a business coach. And again, when I say to people I'm a business coach, a lot of people think that it's pretty dry and cut and clear. But it really, as an individual that has been in this journey, I think that there is also that other part of us that is very much intertwined with what we are doing in our business, right? We bring ourselves to the table, our whole selves and perfect selves. And I see a lot of women who are starting businesses who have some work to do. However, because they haven't done some of that mind work, working with their therapist, doing some of that digging, right? A little deeper. They are prone, definitely. They fall for a lot of things that detract from their business, detract from moving forward in a way that makes sense.
And I think, I don't know if you'll agree with me, it's because becoming an entrepreneur, having your own business, is literally going to bring up everything unresolved in you.
Oh, 100%. Like when I was, you're right.
Yeah, when I was a lawyer, I had no awareness I had money issues, money blocks. Mm-hmm. When I started becoming an entrepreneur, it's almost like they came racing from back to the back of the room and kind of imposed themselves in front of me. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good thing, but it can also be challenging.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you need to have the support. And as a business coach, I don't know if you also offer some sort of emotional support. But for me, as a online business mentor, I often end up supporting my clients with the healing process. Because unless they do that, the business is not going to run smoothly, or there's going to be some issues.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, Ange, one of the things that I do is anything that I help my clients through are the types of things that I myself have gone through. And I think that I am a better coach because I'm sharing from my own personal experience and know that, like I said, right, we're intertwined, we bring ourselves to the table, but I continue to hone in my skills in a way that I can support them because, you know, so for instance, and she won't mind me sharing. I think that I've shared the example a couple of times already, but I have a client who has been building a business for a while, definitely had some blocks and in different areas, and had started to make a lot of strides, had started to really go to the next level. Unfortunately, and sadly, tragically, her son passed away last year in a very unexpected, tragic accident. And that really brought up a lot of things. And I realized that in order for me to really be able to support her, it wasn't just about helping her run her business. It was really about walking through the grief with her and walking through everything that was coming up. Because again, it brought up a lot of different things for her. So there's something when we are coaches and mentors that it's not as cut and dry as it would be when, you know, we're doing some of the work out in the world.
Yes. And I think even in the corporate world, people are realizing more and more that you can't leave yourself at the door.
No. You know? No. Great. You should mention that. I actually met someone from the UK. I believe Emma Watson. I don't know, you know, again, it's such a small world these days. Sometimes I meet people, but she's a TEDx speaker, and she has a company that works with organizations, right? In which she trains people within the organization and how to become first responders, right? So for instance, first responders, if you fall and break a leg, or you stop breathing and you need CPR, that's one level of first responder. The other level of first responder is the person that is going to then, if someone in your team is struggling with trauma, with pain, how to be able to identify and help an individual that is going through emotional pain in work, and how to be able to be that first responder in your office, in your corporate world, and then be able to send the person to the appropriate mental health provider from there. So it's really fascinating work.
It's interesting because I literally trained in August in that modality. At least it was called in the training that I did, mental health first aider.
Yes, so I think that might be her thing. So I she's wonderful. So I don't know if I should connect both of you. I think that you would really, really enjoy, you know, connecting with her and learning more about the work that she does.
Thank you for that. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am passionate about this because even though I think the subject of mental health is slightly different from the subject of mindset and still different from the subject of therapy, it's something that all of us are better if we understand it more.
Agreed.
And we can also be better. We can be there for people in a more helpful way.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so hard. It's a bit with grief when you were talking about grief earlier. Mm-hmm. Most people don't respond or say things that are unhelpful because they have no clue.
Right. Agreed.
Or because they're afraid to say the wrong thing, so they don't say anything. And then it creates isolation for the person.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. But there's things we can learn that can help. So, you know, the first thing, and I know we're not talking about training people in on your podcast about this or on your radio show, is to say not to offer advice. I think that would be just listening can be enough, because when we listen to people actively without interrupting, people can actually come to their own conclusion. And I've seen that happen myself. When someone allows me to talk long enough, 80% of the time, by the end of time, I resolve my own problem.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky that my friends are good listeners and they won't interrupt me and try and offer solutions unless I say, look, can you help me with this? I'm going around in circles. I can't find the solution. What do you think?
Yes.
Already having that distinction can be massive, 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 massive.
Yeah. And it happens to so many of us in which, you know, we really just need the space to be able to listen to what is going on and dig a little deeper into a couple of these different layers, because sometimes we're just operating from a very surface level. This is why I love the questions from Byron Katie. Would you be open to sharing what those questions are?
Yes, of course. So the first question is it true? And so if we... I love working on my own beliefs alongside the people who come to my challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So my belief was, is it true that I'm not good enough?
Oh, so good.
Because I still feel at the bottom, deep down inside, that I'm not good enough. I'm constantly trying to prove myself. I always move the goalposts. I'm a perfectionist. If I reach a certain milestone of success, then immediately it doesn't matter. It doesn't count. We just push it further. And so the first question is it true? Well, even if we have a lot of evidence to support a belief that we believe, and obviously we will, because otherwise we wouldn't have that belief. Although some beliefs we espouse as children, because under the age of 7, there's no filter. Everything goes straight. We take everything. We're sponges. Mm-hmm. But after that, we need to have a bit of evidence to start believing something.
Yeah.
But what Byron Katie is inviting us to do is to question, because the more we advance in experience, and I suppose in age as well, wisdom, if we gain wisdom with age, not all everyone, but most of us, we gain a bit of wisdom with the age, as we age. And the thing is, you probably realize, and this is especially true with spirituality, so I'm fascinated by that. In spirituality, very often one thing and the opposite are true at the same time. And you have to choose, actually, what reality do you want to choose? Mm-hmm. You want to prefer to believe that or that? Both of them can be true.
Yeah, I love that.
So that's the first question. And then, of course, you might be attached to your belief, right?
Yeah, and because so many of us have a hard time letting go of the beliefs.
Yeah, because first of all, you might have been through a lot of pain through that belief. And if you let go, it's almost like you feel that you're giving someone a free ticket, right? Yeah.
We shed the identity, and you know, we for as much of pain as those beliefs cost us, there are the comfortable, the uncomfortable comfortable.
And we've survived with these beliefs.
Yeah.
We don't know what life would be like with another set of beliefs. So we can be attached to them.
Yeah.
This is where the second question comes in. Are you sure? So this is to soften a little bit this knowledge. And with the are you sure, we're opening the door a little bit to think, oh, actually, I've seen this, but I haven't really taken it on board. And what's fascinating, it ties in with how the brain works, how the mind works, because we have clusters of thoughts and memories that our brain organizes everything in clusters around these beliefs. And I'll give you a little example, which is how you can create a phobia. I've never liked spiders, okay?
Okay.
And then when my brother was 16, he was younger than me, he came on a weekend with my best friend and his best friend, and we thought we were going to have a good time. And he played a prank on me with a plastic spider that he put in a matchbox.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned out it was a real one that looked exactly like his plastic one. And I started screaming to the top of my lungs, and it actually cluster of thoughts. I was already afraid of spider. This time that spider, you know, scared me really, really badly.
Mm-hmm.
And it escalated to the point where I had almost a phobia of spiders. Now, hypnotherapy has helped me to deconstruct the whole thing, but it's
right.
The same for a belief.
Yeah.
You have a belief, and it's like a snowball, and it grows bigger and bigger with all the experiences that you have. So we're trying to melt the big snowball, or even the snowman at this point, with these two questions.
Yes.
If it wasn't enough because you're really attached to your snowball or to your snowman, what you can do is to ask yourself, who would you be without this belief? And now here we're exploring with question number three, what would my world be like if I didn't believe this?
Yeah.
And very often you'll realize that it will expand your horizons. It will create a better life for you, especially if it's a limiting or damaging belief.
Yeah.
And then she invites us to the last question, which is, to imagine a life with a more positive belief, a replacement belief.
Right.
And I think this process, even though it can stay a little bit too much in the intellect, it's still good to start the engine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that it kind of works off of each other. And I think that these are the four questions that in any circumstance, especially when we're feeling really weighed down, when we feel that we're in the middle of a crisis, it's important to bring this to our awareness.
And let's go back to the example, and this is not to diminish at all the grief process, because grief is grief and it has to go at its own pace,
right.
And nothing can be forced. But when we lose someone very dear, or I'm going through a divorce at the moment, you can have a black and white way to look at the world. And you could think, for example, I could think, I'm never going to experience love again. This is devastating. Men are all horrible, bloody, bloody, blah. But if I keep a bit of that open mind and think, you know, actually, this is a belief I have right now, but is it really serving me? And if I never want to be in a relationship again, it is serving me and it's fine. I just leave it there. But to have that critical way of looking at how we think, to at least consider that our thoughts are not ourselves. And you know, when people have opinions, they're attached to their opinions so strongly that they feel that it's part of their identity. So I suppose it's here that we need to deconstruct a little bit and understand we are not our set of beliefs. We are not our opinions.
Yeah.
We are bigger than that.
Yes.
And I think the best proof is that I've changed opinions about a lot of things over the years through the experience of meeting other people, through, you know, podcasts like yours, where you expand the mind of people and you offer a different way to look at things.
Yeah, this is amazing. You know, I'm so incredibly grateful. I think that we have so much that we've unpacked in such a short period of time, and there's still such an incredible amount of information that we can continue to unpack. But Emma and Ange, I want to give you an opportunity to tell us a little bit more about what you do and how you help individuals, because your work is incredibly important for women, specifically because mastering our intuition, but also being able to, you know, there's people who wonder what the bigger picture would be, but they need help being able to work with someone like you so that they can have that laser clarity for their business.
Oh, thank you for asking. So yeah, I suppose it's that extra dimension that I bring to the mindset work that I do. And I actually work with a framework that I call the EPIC framework, as in EPIC. And it's energy, prosperity, intuition, and the C stands for clarity, confidence, and there's a third one and I forgot. That's really funny. But it's a bulk of mindset. And for me, it's super important to have all these elements because I consider them as the foundations of success. If you have success, but you don't know how to manage your energy, or you don't understand, or you don't have your boundaries, or you don't have a healthy lifestyle, it's going to be like building something on sand, you know, at one point it's going to collapse. Same thing with prosperity. You can bring, you know, do all sorts of things, but if you don't have the real prosperity mentality, if you don't understand how your beliefs can actually trip you up, literally, then it's not going to be sustainable. And intuition is a big piece of it, because I think that's the piece that most people don't understand.
Yeah.
So most people who teach about intuition teach about psychic abilities, actually, not intuition. And they're two different things in my mind. Okay. And the reason why I feel this is damaging for the population at large, and especially for entrepreneurs, is that most entrepreneurs don't want to become tarot readers, or they don't want to become psychic healers. Yeah. They just want to be them. And because it's mostly psychic people who teach intuition, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you've come across a lot of people who teach it who are not psychic healers, they miss the point, because for most people, intuition is not going to come in a vision. It's not going to come in something that you're going to hear. It's going to come as a feeling in your body.
Yes.
Or it's going to come as goosebumps on your arms, or it's going to come as a tinkling around your head, or even something completely different. So my role, whether it's in one-to-one work or in a course, and I actually do have a course now to teach people how to trust their intuition, my role is to show people exactly how they receive intuition. And I remember one of my very early VIPs who I taught how to connect to her own intuition and to what I call the Akashic Records. She was actually a psychic medium herself. But the way she'd been taught about it, it didn't work for her, because it had been taught by someone who was clairvoyant, and she actually received her information in a very different way. So I want people to understand who are listening to this podcast that we are all going to receive it in a very different way. So the first exercise I give people to recognize how their intuition works is to literally go a little bit like Sherlock Holmes on a journey to collect your own stories of intuition. Because the more stories of intuition you collect, the more you document it, the more you realize, oh, this is how I knew. And I'm going to give you an example of the very first time I remember when my intuition kicked in. And I had no idea it was intuition back then. So in 1986, I was a student, a law student, and I was doing an internship in a legal department in Paris, where I come from. And after work, I had plans to go to this multi-story place where they sell books and music, and that I was super excited to go there. I was in the metro. I don't know if you've been to Paris.
Yeah.
I was about to come out of the metro, and when I was about to come out of the actual train, I suddenly felt so exhausted, I just had to go home. So my plans were all canceled, which is very unusual for me, because I'm the person who stand by my word. If I say I'm going to do something, I do. For some reason, at the last moment, changed my mind completely. And then by the time, it was only two stations away from my parents, where my parents lived, where I still lived with my parents at that time. And when I came out of the metro at my parents' place, I saw all these ambulances and emergency vehicles, and it was very stressful. So that evening at 8 o'clock news, I watched and I saw that exactly the place where I was supposed to be in front of the shop where I had planned to go at exact time where I was going to get there, there was a bomb that killed 7 people and injured 55.
Wow.
Now, I didn't know that this feeling of tiredness in my body was my intuition protecting me from the danger.
Yep.
But it was.
It was, absolutely.
And I shared this story with a man 2 months ago on a podcast, and he said, you've actually made me click on something I had never understood. He was in the military, and something very similar had happened to him. But because it's not the way that people understand intuition or teach about intuition, he didn't know it was in his intuition that saved his life in this way as well.
Mm.
So this is what I want to start, is this understanding. And if you don't mind me mentioning, I actually have an 88-episode podcast called The Intuitive Revolution in Business, where people are going to be able to hear a lot more about all these things.
Yes, I love that you shared it. I love that you brought it up. Thank you.
So go and binge if you want. I'm very proud of that podcast. I shared almost everything there is to know about intuition on there because I'm so passionate about it. But I will say, let's keep it simple. Start with dedicating a notebook to your intuition and become the Sherlock Holmes of your own intuition, right? Because your intuition is going to speak to you. We've talked about beliefs through your entire set of beliefs, through the symbols that are meaningful to you and no one else. And I'll give you another example that is absolutely powerful. So when my second child started university, I was a little bit nervous because he was going to move away from home. And it felt to me that he was a bit more vulnerable than my firstborn. And so I went down. It was about 2.5 hours drive from where I am, which seems nothing for the US, but for the UK, it's a fair distance. And I was really worried. And what I saw on the first day I arrived, I went for a long walk by the beach, you know, trying to give him his space, settle in the campus. And I saw 3 planes. It was a sculpture of 3 planes by the beach. And I didn't actually pay attention to that.
Okay.
Came back the second day, in my face, the 3 planes. And it was a huge ha-ha moment because it reminded me, or it gave me a sign that my father was there. And the reason why these 3 planes were so meaningful is because the day my dad died in 2014, in March 2014, 3 planes flew into the sky when my sister received the phone call about his death. And my dad was big on number 3. For him, number 3 was the number, his number. So imagine on his death, 3 planes fly into the sky, almost as if to say to my sister and to all of us, I've arrived, I'm safe. Everything is well. So I go and take my son to university, and this was and I can see my dad right now, actually. My dad was showing me, look, the 3 planes are here. I am here for your son. Even though you won't be there physically with him, I will be there in spirit. And that warmed my heart. And from there, I was able to let go of all my worry. So you see, this sign means nothing to someone else.
Yep.
They will walk past these 3 planes, that sculpture, and completely ignore it. Well, I did the first day. But I guess I'm sharing about the second day because life will give you another opportunity to see the sign if you miss it. And I want people to know that because you can become anxious and think, oh, but what if I miss a sign? No, 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 no. You'll get another chance and another and another and another. The universe is super creative around that.
Mm-hmm. I love this.
Understand the signs, what they mean to you. Pay attention to what it means to you, to how you see the world.
Mm-hmm.
and you'll understand your intuition better, because your intuition is literally using that as a map to show you what to do, where to go, and everything else.
Oh, Anj, thank you so much for sharing this. I think that, you know, I love the story of your dad. I was very close to my dad, and still to this day, very much. He passed away in 2014, and I also will get these signs that remind me things are going to be okay, that you've got this, that, you know, he is present and helping. So thank you for sharing. I think that when the more that we share these experiences, the more that we can normalize them for others as well. Such incredible wisdom. You know, you've been incredibly generous with your time, but I have a key question for you. Will you come back? Because we need to keep talking.
I would love to come back. Was that the question? Did you have another question?
No, that is the first question. How do people find you?
So I'm on mostly on LinkedIn and Facebook. Probably the easiest would be to look for my podcast, either The Intuition Revolution in Business or The True Spirituality with Anj, because then you'll be directed in the show notes to lots of links.
Yeah.
I'm Anj de Lumière on Facebook, but it's really hard to spell. My page, if you look for Spiritual Lawyer, you can find my YouTube channel, you can find my Facebook page. And that's about it, really. And I have a group on Facebook called True Spirituality with Anj that people can join as well.
Well, I am going to go join True Spirituality with Anj. Thank you so much. We're going to have all this information that you just shared. You gave us all your links. So we're going to make sure that we go in and we share them in the show notes. But also, I highly encourage the listeners to go in and check out both of the podcasts, because there's some really great content that Anj is sharing with all of us. And again, you know, I really have the first episode of my spiritual. I did not listen to your second one yet. It's on my queue. And when I go for my next walk, it's going to be one of the things that I listen to. Thank you for being a part of the show, Anj. You're amazing. You're doing some incredible work. I'd love to have you back and be able to explore additional stuff. I want to have you back after you've read the Mary Magdalene reveal. Then maybe we can unpack that a little bit.
I would love to do that. And thank you so much for your generosity and for inviting me again. I actually would love to come back after I finish my second memoir. Because my first memoir, My Father Who Art in Heaven, is on my website, theintuitiverevolution.co.uk. And it's about the last few months of my dad's life and how my intuition enabled me to do the right thing with him, because he couldn't speak anymore. Due to the illness that he had. But I still had the most magical moments with him. And then it's the story of how I wanted to continue the conversation after he died. But my second memoir.
So beautiful.
And I think I've had such beautiful feedback from it, from all the people who've read it. And it can give so much hope to people as well. But my second memoir is called Spiritual Lawyer. And it shows the story about the Bomber Temple in Paris is one of the first stories in thing, but it shows how I went from being a very logical, rational, you know, law student to a tarot reader.
Wow.
And all the things in between. So all the little, you know, how the needle was moved one bit by bit by bit by bit to take me into this completely new world, which I now integrate with the logic. You know what I mean? I can ground all of this. And so it offers, I think, a safer way for people to explore all of this, because you don't have to go off in what I call the unicorn world or the fluffy unicorns and still be yourself. You don't have to change. You don't have to become someone else.
I love it. And by the way, I cannot wait to read your first memoir. I'm going to go ahead and it's in my cart already as we speak. And I can't wait to have you for our second conversation. So many things to unpack. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for taking the time to be a part of the show. Again, time flies when you're having fun, and I hope that the listeners have really enjoyed this conversation. Make sure that you connect with Ange, and I appreciate you sharing this episode and sharing Casa de Confidence and the confidence you show with your friends, because this is how we are able to continue to bring you the incredible high caliber of guests that we do. So thank you, my friends. Until we meet again, I am Julie, and don't forget, go confidently in the direction of your dreams.
Thanks for listening to Casa de Confidence. We thank you for listening. And if you want more, go to CasaDeConfidencePod.com. Check Julie out on her socials as Julie DeLuca Collins. And you can also check out her website at GoConfidentlyCoaching.com. Have a great week. And don't forget, go confidently in the direction of your dreams.